Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Paul George, he has his signature moment in the postseason with a huge game for the Clippers as they take a lead. Without Kawhi Leonard, he's not available. And, man, as we've been talking about it, availability has been the biggest issue in all of a sudden in the NBA and its postseason, and that's become a really big story as well, as we're waiting to see what the extent of the Kawhi Leonard injury is. We know Donovan Mitchell's playing through an injury. Joel Embiid is playing through an injury. Kyrie Irving out. He didn't even make the trip for tonight's game against the Bucks for the Nets. He's out.
Yeah, no point.
James Harden playing with an injury. We just keep going through all the teams that have been dealing with this. And, guys, this has become, as we were amazed hearing it yesterday, Chris Paul out with the health and safety protocols, which is much different. It's not an injury. But LeBron James took to Twitter to discuss it, and it really became like a big story from him, because he said he called it, that he was telling people about starting the season when the league did, instead of waiting. It was, you know, instead of, they did it right before Christmas instead of MLK Day, which is what a lot of the players wanted. And it wasn't enough time to give the players, after coming out of the bubble, a chance to have an off season to recoup, rest, and then get back into the season.
Can I just clarify? Some players. You know, players that went deep into the playoffs. There are other teams that are off for multiple months.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I wanted
to say. Yeah, no, you're right. And that's the argument back. So, take a listen to LeBron. This was in December, before the season started, when he made the first point about being concerned that he and the Heat, who were in the finals, would have a very short offseason. So he went to Twitter yesterday afternoon, and here's a bit of what he said in the thread. He said, they all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen, he said. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries, this is him writing it, isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, the most in league history. This is the best time of the year, and our league and fans are missing a ton of our favorite players. It's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now. He said that about it. Now, a statement from NBA spokesman Mike Bass said this: injury rates were virtually the same this season as they were during the 2019-20 season, while starter level and all-star players missed games due to injury at similar rates as the last three seasons. While injuries are an unfortunate reality of our game, we recognize the enormous sacrifices NBA players and teams have made to play through this pandemic. Guys, the union agreed to start the season, right? They knew, like, the players agreed to it. Money was, we all know, a major reason why they couldn't wait till the middle of January. They wanted to get it as early as they could, and they compromised on right around Christmas Day.
Yeah, but as I look at the injuries, they look like basketball-related injuries to me. Guys playing basketball, falling down, bumping knees, LeBron James having somebody fall on him. And I asked you, Jay, and I don't know, because I wouldn't think as an athlete and being out on a football field, you get heavy legs throughout the course of the season, but you also are in condition. And what I mean by that is, are your legs so tired and so heavy that you can't move around and therefore you can't get out of the way of people? That's why people are tripping over each other and falling. Or is it just basketball plays? Because there's really hasn't been any soft tissue injuries outside of James Harden that through the season was having trouble that I can think of. Everybody else is like an ankle, a knee, you know, a shoulder.
Yeah, Harden is the conditioning injury because it's the hamstring that he's dealt with since he
even
came
AD,
to the
AD Brooklyn. Went to the cup. It came down awkward and did something to his groin. So I'm not really sure what LeBron means by it's affecting the play. I'm lost on that one.
Does LeBron have a point? Yes, he does.
Okay.
The reality is that the volume of play for some players, since this has been the shortest offseason in the history of the league, has been a lot more for some players. So if the volume of playing activity is higher, there becomes a higher threshold potentially for injury due to not having your body enough time to actually get rest, right? You're using muscles way more in a shorter span of time.
But who's having muscle issues?
I'm just saying it increases your probability of injury. It does.
I get that part, but when we say
– But let me finish here for a second. Okay. So I agree with you that I think a lot more of these injuries are basketball related, right? But at the same time, look, you have to play. Not everybody gets a chance to earn at the top threshold like a LeBron James. You have a lot of guys who are on minimum contracts. And the business aspect of this, and I know LeBron gets this, is that when force majeure happened, when the pandemic happened, a lot of players were forced to leave a portion of their salary in escrow that they would not be able to receive. So the reason why you have the quicker start date is, yes, for TV money, which then allows the players to recoup a lot of the money that will be taken out of escrow to give back to them. So this was a business decision in which throughout the pandemic, we all had to make business decisions, right? Everyday people had to make business decisions. It may not be fair. We may not like it. But this is the reality of the world that we are living in while we are navigating one of the most difficult times our country has seen in a long time, our world has seen.
Can I also point out that, as you mentioned, from when the league stopped in March to when it started back up, it was late July, right, for the bubble?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Everybody was doing nothing. So that was your rest. That's what the league will say. That was everybody was resting. Then less than half the league went into the bubble and played. Some only played 8 games. Some then continued on. And when in the case of LeBron and the other stars, how is it any different than when you play in the Olympics? Because you don't go – it's not just 2 weeks of Olympics. It's also a couple of weeks before where you go into your training camp, where you play some exhibition, and then you go into the Olympics. So it's a couple of weeks. And then you got about a month, and then you get right back into your NBA season when you have Olympics. So it's a similar type of schedule that is a obviously, you know, in where we are, a circumstance that you had to agree to. And the money was the biggest effect here for the players, for the league, for everyone. And so it was a sacrifice that it was a liability that you took on by agreeing to it. So to blame the league for it now, you know, I just feel like it doesn't make sense to create this animosity when it was unnecessary. He's frustrated. Fine. He's frustrated because he's not. What's the motivation behind these tweets? Is he upset that the stars aren't playing, or is he upset that his injury and AD's injury and he's not playing?
Well, I think it's a collection of all, right? I mean, it's the frustration that we're not playing in it, but I'm also watching other superstars get hurt, but they're getting hurt in basketball-related things. I'm watching basketball plays with my eyes, unless I'm seeing something different, unless I'm just way off base. It just seems like to me, Kyrie Irving coming down on Giannis's ankle had nothing to do with starting early.
And LeBron's injury was a hustle injury.
That guy falling on him had nothing to do with starting early.
Right.
Unless it was a reckless hustle.
So that type of thinking from LeBron means that Dame shouldn't have committed to playing in the Olympics this year. Right? I mean, essentially.
That's a good point.
Nikola Jokic is not.
Understood. And the Nuggets really didn't want him to, so he decided, okay, I'm not going to, because they were concerned about him and his conditioning. So, yeah, I mean, look, you can make the case, but it's flimsy.
But why?
It's flimsy, and again, yeah, why? If you're frustrated by it, that's one thing. But to blame the league, you're all to blame because you all agreed to do it. Coming up, another star is frustrated, and it has to do with one decision his team made yesterday. That's after Key has this from Goodyear.
What else is new? Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. Playoff hopefuls emerge beginning, and contenders solidify their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
Coming up Monday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Basketball Hall of Famer Magic Johnson.
What's up? It's the Hall of Famer Magic Johnson. Monday, I'll be in studio on KJZ. I got some Hall of Fame moves for Jay and Key. I'm going to set you straight on the game of basketball, but you still my boy. Get ready, because I'm coming.
Magic Johnson on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Monday morning at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Phrasing.
The game is over.
Get it? Hey!
Brazilian key. I need your eyes.
Alan, you got your blue eyes look nice.
Would you? I need them blue eyes.
Do you only wear blue clothes because you have blue eyes?
Okay. See, that was only meant for
what?
No, but I want your blue eyes.
Private conversation. Although it is kind of public because it was just posted on my Instagram.
I want your blue eyes.
Brazilian key. Well, you always.
I said it for myself. Key,
Jay is a habitual line stepper. Oh, was I not supposed to share that story?
Bully. I already know if I want something out of the universe, who to give it to.
That's all right.
Hey, Jay, you know I just bought a G550. Hey. You know, I was talking to Keeney the other day, and he said that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you done?
I'm just messing with you.
By the way, the crew.
I love you.
Lesson learned.
The crew is the worst.
Damn.
The crew. Absolute. This is the worst team I've ever been on. The worst team by far.
Why?
Just because.
Read the tweet,
did you
please.
Did you see the?
I did. I need you to read it, though.
I want your blue eyes.
With your blue eyes saying it to me.
I'll leave out the beginning part, but he asked if I
only. Can you look at me while you say it?
If I only own blue clothes.
Because of your blue eyes.
My wife likes blue.
And don't get off the eyes. Look at me. Let me see your eyes. They're blue. Wow.
And it's blue behind me, too. It's like I'm stuck with it. But he said this. He said, like we get it. You think your eye color matches your clothes. Wear some different colors, dude. He's like, and then he adds you guys saying he's like a kid or something. His closet must be hilarious.
What's in your closet? Is it a lot of blue?
I have a lot of good suits.
You have a lot of blue suits?
Yeah.
I mean, I see your detective blue suits on MSG all the time.
I'm not used to wearing athleisure wear onto shows like this because normally I have to dress up.
I thought you were going to wear suits and boots today since you guys are hosting First Take.
Stay tuned.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be.
He's wearing this?
No. I'll be.
I saw his shoes. Wait till you see his shoes. I saw his shoes already. Kind of nice.
Okay. The suspense is killing me.
Yeah, we will be on First Take today.
Sitting there looking at my wardrobe. You see? See what I'm saying? He trying to size me up. No, they.
I got to know my competition. I always got to know my competition, man. Yes, Key and I will be on First Take today and tomorrow, so you want to definitely stay tuned for that. And I thank you for that comment because I don't have enough mirror anxiety. So, Jay, let's make an awkward transition now into Jay's Round Ball Rankings. Brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies Advisor today or 877-ASK-DELL.
Key to life. Here's the key to life. These are teams, some of the vacancies that are open right now. My top five of teams that I think have the best opportunities to win with the cast that they have. And we will start off with number five, okay? If you're a coach, what job do you want? I go number five, the Washington Wizards. And I say that, obviously, Scott Brooks has been fired. He's been with the Wizards for 5 years. Couldn't come to an agreement on his contract. Tommy Shepard, there have been some questionable moves that he's made in the past, but I like him overall. I just don't know how long Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook want to be there to play together. And the question is, yeah, they made the playoffs, but can you win with Russ long-term? I think you can, but if you're a coach coming into that environment, Bradley Beal, does he want to stay there? Do you have longevity? I'm not sure, Not sure that's the best opportunity for a new coach coming into that situation.
And he's got 2 years left, Russ.
Yes, he
with
does.
With a lot of money. A
lot of money.
Yes, 45, right?
So like now you're saying, Tommy Shepard, I need you to work some magic there. Good opportunity. I just don't think the best opportunity. So that's number five. Next up. Probably mine is going to be blown here with this. Portland Trailblazers, number four for me. Now,
really?
You say that. What is Dame has one more year left on his contract? And we talk about, will Dame want to stay there? You come into a scenario where Dame's trying to win. He's trying to win now. Not now, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Not yesterday, 2 years ago.
Right.
When they got to the Western Conference Finals. There's a lot of pressure on that job. And now you're saying Neil O'Shea came out there, Jamie, and said, hey, look, constructed, we're good. I'm like, but are you? You guys are always injury prone.
Yep.
Zach Collins hasn't made the floor. Nurkic has dealt with issues.
I forgot he even plays for them.
Like that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of issues around there with Klay Thompson coming back. What's Golden State going to do? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of moves happening right now in the West.
The West is shifting.
Where you're like, man, that's a lot of pressure to come into right now for a guy like Dame who deserves to win a championship. But can you do that in Portland?
But they need to go to Dame and ask him.
Who do you want?
What is it that he needs? What is it that he wants?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Is what Dame wants the right thing for the organization? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. That's a question as a coach you have to ask yourself, though.
Yeah, all superstars, it seems like, in the NBA get that opportunity. Why
agree.
Can't he?
I'm not knocking him for doing it. I'm just saying as an organization, you think about, is what Dame wants the best thing for my organization? That's a question. That's number four. Number three, Pacers. Get it. Downside the market. Smaller market. Look, all my family is from Indiana. My wife, her brother-in-law, my father-in-law, they're all from there. Avid fan base. And the way the roster is kind of constructed, I kind of like it. I mean, Domantas Sabonis, Brogdon, LeVert, Miles Turner, McDermott.
Don't forget T.J. Warren.
T.J. Warren. He's been dealing with some health issues this year. It's just been health for them, right? But the East, I feel like they're going to be there in the East. Can you get a superstar to come to Indy with that core?
You bury the lead. They had a coach.
They did.
Well, he's 3-2 on the Sixers.
Now he's doing it, yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Nate, you had a guy who was getting you success, and you felt like, well, he can't get us any further. Well, he's getting somebody else further than you did.
I hear you, but
You think?
I hear what you're saying about the organization. I'm looking at this from the coaching perspective of being a new coach.
I completely understand.
It's a great situation. I mean, it's almost
got talent.
Turnkey to a degree. You just might need a piece or two in free agency that can take you over the top.
They had major issues between that coaching staff and the players this year. Major issues. So.
I agreed. But I still think it's the upside there is pretty tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's number three. The Pelicans. I really think with Stan Van Gundy, it was like oil and water. Stan is brilliant at X's and O's, but he's a little bit rigid. He's very old school, right? And you have a young core. You have young dudes doing it young different ways. I think there was a little rift there about what can take this team to the next level. And David Griffin, brilliant GM, made so many moves to get a guy like Zion. And, you know, even Key loves the line, we're going to, microwave?
Oh, yeah, microwave.
A lot of coaches.
Reheat them.
I do wonder if Mike D'Antoni and Alan, you mentioned it yesterday in our text thread.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni with that squad, with the pace and style they like to play, with Brandon Ingram, with the way they like to run, with Zion Williamson. I just think the upside there, even though they're in the West.
Again, though, we get ready to reheat Mike D'Antoni.
Even if you don't reheat Mike D'Antoni. If you want to go Teresa Weatherspoon, who's already on the staff. Okay. I just think the upside of learning how to unlock Zion and Brandon Ingram with that
Isn't
young
that the biggest
talent.
Question? What is he? Because we saw Stan decide to make him a point forward, and that pretty much took Ingram sort of out of his game. Lonzo Ball was basically persona non grata.
So ain't gonna be there anyway.
So he's got to get out of there. But why I think D'Antoni, who I don't think would take the job this late in his career, a young team, don't know if that's a great fit for him. But why he would, his system, and the way he coaches, because if you put Ingram and Zion in pick and roll, Zion would be like Amari Stoudemire was with the Suns when it comes to, like, as the role man, unstoppable. Because he's such a physical force, and you wouldn't have to see him take awkward threes. He would never need to. And Ingram can shoot, can drive. He's got that dual threat, can handle the basketball, and he's got the size and length. Like, those two in a pick and roll, when you spread it out, spread the floor, they could be a prolific type of offense that would be very difficult to guard.
What does that do for you, though?
It gets you 48 like wins Tony, in the playoffs, which for the Pelicans, that's a pretty damn good season.
I mean, look, the fact is that the Pelicans, though, they've lost so many close games that it feels like, I mean, last year they didn't make it.
No closer.
This year they didn't make it because they couldn't close. Mm-hmm. But if you had a coach that can help them get over that little hump, I mean, they'll be they're a playoff contender.
Yeah.
Playoff contender each and every year. They should be. That's number two. Come on, man. Beantown.
Yeah.
Boston. I mean, the fact that Jason Tatum didn't make an All-NBA team, get out of here!
Wow.
Get out of here! What are we talking about?
He didn't?
Didn't.
Shocking.
I mean, I'll take the core of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown all day, every day. Brad Stevens, I think he's going to be better built to be in a front office position. And that job, understanding the pieces, is Kemba to answer. I'm not sure. He's played through injury a lot this year, condensed season. You know, I think there's a lot of moving pieces. What do you do with Marcus Smart? You have to make changes. But I think that opportunity to coach Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I feel like that's it. Does it come with pressure? Yes, it does.
Sure.
But I think that's a sexy job, man.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity to coach a guy that I think in the next 5 years, I mean, top five player in the league.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You do have an honorable mention, though.
I do. Orlando was number six. That's why they're there. But my honorable mention are Milwaukee, because that could pop off very quickly if they don't come through now. And the Dallas Mavericks. You let go of Donnie Nelson. There's obviously stuff happening. There was a co-general manager that Mark Cuban came out and said, there's no way I let a guy like Volgaris
shadow GM.
Yeah. Make decisions like that. You have things going around about Luka. Is he really happy? Don Nelson brought him in. Love Donnie Nelson. What's happening to that relationship? Now, look, earlier in the year, I said New York could be a potential opportunity, and people killed me for it. Kill me for
Luka.
For Luka. It's feasible. There are feasible scenarios where you start looking at where will Luka want to go and build
if
it doesn't work out in
Dallas. You can't get me this excited this early.
Well, New York isn't the only option. But I will say there's a lot of rumblings, and Mark Cuban needs to put water on that fire. I don't know how he does it with Luka.
Well, he did yesterday. He shot it down. But what was interesting, though, is –
well, just because you shoot it down doesn't mean internally it's actually –
Mark J. Spears, who's a fantastic writer for us, he also – writing for The Undefeated. He was on The Jump yesterday, and he gave this account from what he's hearing about Luka and the Mavs. I mean, that's a
you know what people out there in the Twitter sphere? Just keep killing me. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's fine.
So, again – first of all, we'll probably hear from Luka today at some point.
He and I don't know what we're talking about.
Don't bring me in it.
Well, no, you
I'm following your lead.
Just to reset, though, we might hear something from Luka today, right? As we said, this was yesterday when Spears was talking, so that means today we can expect Luka might say something about Donnie Nelson, who's been there 25 years, who was a big part of really scouting Luka the whole
all
time.
All the way from his teen years.
Yeah. What's that extension worth?
It's $201 million. Dollars.
Oh, and there hasn't been.
They haven't even started talking.
So you were signing like yesterday if you was happy, right?
It's 200,
nothing to talk about.
He
did say that.
That was, 2 weeks ago. But
now
that Don Nelson is gone, hold on, not so fast. I got other options that I'm looking at now. Rightfully so. Because if Rick Carlisle's out eventually and they can't attract another superstar to want to go to Dallas to play with him, that becomes problematic.
That's it to watch. Rick Carlisle now, Mark Cuban basically said, like, he's here forever. Like, doesn't mean Rick Carlisle might say, you know what, I've been here a long time. I want a new, fresh start.
Well, let me ask you guys about the timing of that. So Mark Cuban comes out when they lose and says, oh, Rick Carlisle is just going to be here. Like, I don't see any problem. Like, why do you feel the need to address it if he's going to be there?
He was asked. Yeah, he was asked. But still, you're right.
You still don't need to come out.
No. It's Rick definitely something to keep an eye on. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. All right, we played, believe it or not, earlier, and now we're going to ask a Super Bowl champ to sing it. And also ask him how much he believes what one NFL coach said this week. Coming up next, KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Blue Eyes.
Philadelphia was ahead by 26 points, and this Atlanta Hawks team that believes, never gave up, came all the way back, and they defeat the mighty Philadelphia 76ers 109-106. Atlanta leads the series 3-2, and they will have a chance now to wrap this up and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's amazing. Another comeback by Atlanta. That was the call on 92.9 The Game as the Atlanta Hawks come back to defeat the 76ers 109-106. Now, Philly looked like it was well on its way to taking the to get the win and taking a 3-2 lead in the series. They were up by as many as 26 points, but for the second time in three nights, Atlanta comes back to win. For the Sixers, the loss is tied for the third largest blown lead in the last 25 postseasons. In the West, no Kawhi Leonard, but Paul George got it done in a 119-111 win for the Clippers over the Utah Jazz in their Game 5. Paul George goes for 37 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists. He became the first player in franchise history to score 35 points, 35-plus, 15-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists in a game. To the NFL, Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson is resigned to possibly playing on a one-year deal. He said Tuesday in a Zoom conference call with reporters that he doesn't have any contract updates or anything like that. Remember, the Bears placed the $17.98 million franchise tag tender on Robinson after the two sides were unable to agree to an extension last year. Robinson skipped the Bears' voluntary offseason workout program, but he did report to this week's mandatory three-day minicamp. SportsCenter brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just post a sponsored job, and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. The story now in Chicago gets more and more interesting. It's like, honestly, like what we're hearing right now is definitely one of those believe it or not type scenarios. Coaches are saying stuff, and we don't know whether we want to believe it or not. But this is one certainly in Chicago that I find very difficult to believe. And let's bring into this conversation Booger McFarland, our ESPN football analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Booger, good morning. So how much do we buy into the fact that the Bears are saying that Justin Fields, despite their aggressive move up to get him, no chance he's starting week one?
Well, you know, right now I don't really pay attention to anything anyone says in the middle of summer because, we're just trying to fill airwaves and newspaper articles, et cetera, et cetera. What I will say is this, and I said it on the night they drafted Justin Fields, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace got to win this year. So what that means is they got to be able to put the right guy behind the center when the season starts, because 5-12 won't get it done. Like, they need to win a bunch of games, get into the postseason. I think Andy Dalton is going to give them the best chance to do that early on. I know at some point Justin Fields will be ready. I just don't know when. So I got to trust these guys by their word, man, because they know their jobs on the line. And if they're going to put Justin Fields out there, it's not going to be pretty early on. And how much job security, how much time do they have to say, okay, we can go, 6-11 and we'll be good because we made progress, we played the rookie? I don't think they're in that situation.
Boog, help me understand, help us understand from a defensive standpoint, star-studded defensive tackle, you're now in your rookie year along with Sapp and just other guys that have been in that position, Brooksy, all you guys. And the offense is sputtering along, but you see the opportunity to be a great team. And in comes Sean King, takes you guys to the NFC Championship game. How frustrating is that from a defensive standpoint when you know you got a guy at the quarterback spot that can do it, but for whatever reason, the offensive staff isn't giving them the opportunity?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, King. And the situation that you talked about, I mean, we were in. And we had to go to Sean King, a rookie, because of injury. But our defense was so good and so dominant. King just basically had to hand the ball off and throw the check down in the flat to Mike Allstott. And as long as he could hit that, we were going to be fine. The game's not played that way anymore right now. Like, if you're going to play offense, it's got to be wide open. So regardless if you got a rookie or not, that guy's going to have to throw the football. It's a passing league now. We were running the football 40 times a game back then. They are throwing it 40 times. Chicago has never been a really good offensive line, so running the ball has never been something that they say, okay, we can hang our hat on like we did back then. So I think some of the pieces are similar key as far as rookie, good defense, et cetera, but the game is played a lot differently now.
Okay. Booger, let's go out to the 49ers. When do you think Trey Lance should start? Do you think he should get the opportunity?
Not early on. Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo has proven, like, this is not me giving you some breaking news. Jimmy Garoppolo has proven he can get you to a Super Bowl. The 49ers are a team that's capable of winning a Super Bowl. So if you're trying to do that again this year, your best chance is to play Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, long-term, Jay, Trey Lance is obviously a more dynamic quarterback. But, hey, if I'm a veteran on that team and, you know, I'm Nick Bosa, I'm coming back, I'm some of the guys on there, man, listen, let's play Jimmy Garoppolo because we know that even though Jimmy is inconsistent and he's a little brittle, that Jimmy can get the job done and get us to a championship. And I think if San Francisco will stay healthy, not saying that they eventually won't go to Trey Lance at some point because of injury or maybe Jimmy has a bad game or two, but I'm starting Jimmy Garoppolo week one because if we're healthy, I know what we can do. This is not breaking news. We've seen it. Jimmy Garoppolo is one throw from winning the championship, and I think that Kyle Shanahan, I take him for his word when he says Jimmy's the quarterback that gives us the best chance to win.
Okay, from one quarterback to another, what's going on down with the Jaguars, man? Does Tim Tebow have a chance to start as quarterback?
Come on.
I'm going to start it, Boog. I'm going to start it. I mean, they haven't named the starter yet. I don't know why the hell you wouldn't.
It's the
summer. Here's the thing, Jay. Typically, I would try to give you some real bold analysis about this, but like we all know. Urban Meyer came back because of one reason, because Trevor Lawrence was going to be his quarterback.
Exactly.
I don't care what they say. I don't care what anybody writes in an article. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the quarterback. Now, Tim Tebow, it's cool. He's got a buddy that's the head coach, and Tim is going to get an opportunity to fulfill a dream. That's cool. But let's not mention quarterback. Tebow, Jaguars in the same sentence ever again.
Absolutely. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Boog, man, the gossip. All the gossip in Green Bay, the tit-for-tat, drama. The back-and-forth between Mark Murphy, the president of the team, and Aaron Rodgers, which Aaron Rodgers is kind of like just dropping crumbs here and there. Mark Murphy is actually naming names. What are you making of all that?
Well, I think it's two sides key that have realized that their relationship is about done. And, you know, you have some good times, and some days you wake up and you think about, man, boy, we were good together. Man, we made great music. And you're like, you know what, maybe I need to reach out and just, you know, send that text, hey, what's going on? And then other days you wake up, you're like, you know what, you really tick me off. And some of the things that you do really irk me. And I'm going to just go out and let everyone know how I feel about you. That's the type of relationship they got. Like some days they love each other. Other days they remember each other's faults. I think in the end, I don't think Aaron Rodgers plays for the Packers again. Aaron has got a ton of money. Like he's got no, like there's no incentive for Aaron Rodgers to come back and play right now for Green Bay. Like money is not an issue. He's at the top of his game. He's healthy. It's not like he has to play. So Aaron Rodgers can sit back and be petty right now. And Green Bay is saying, okay, we drafted a kid in the first round. You know, we're getting him ready to play. We're not going to kowtow and fire GM Little Goody. We're not going to fire him. So at the end of the day, we're going to be petty too. And I think that you have two people, two entities that are really stubborn right now. I'm going to be pro player. Hopefully they get it figured out. But I hope Aaron Rodgers just sits down, sits, chills, plays golf, relaxes. And at some point, there are 31 other teams, well, really about 28, that need a quarterback. They're going to figure out a way to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Did you ever play with anybody on any of your teams that was petty like that, that created problems?
I don't know anybody
like that. Here's what I'll say. Everyone across the national media label Keyshawn as petty. Mishon, all these different things. Key was a great teammate. Now, Key was Hollywood, okay? Key was a little different. But, you know, from the standpoint of being As Jay calls him, Kiva. Kiva had some tendencies, but he was a great teammate. I'm just saying, man, you did have a few tendencies.
Tell
man.
Him, Boog. Tell
oh,
him.
Man.
Tendencies is a great
Listen,
word.
Jay. Hey, Boog. He was the first one I ever saw pull up to practice. Listen, I'm not talking about the restaurant. We got to go to practice at 7:30 in the morning. He pulls up in a Rolls Royce at 7:30.
When I was supposed to drive.
Well, practice started at 7:30?
Yeah. No. The meeting started at 7:30.
Okay. Yeah, 7:38.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to get there early for it. It's a meeting.
What kind of rolls, though? What are we talking about?
I don't know what
White
I
rolls.
Yeah, I don't know what I have.
The most important part, though, Boog, is that he made sure everybody saw him pull up.
Come on, man. Our parking lot was full of cars like that.
And Boog, by the way, the best follow-up line, I don't know what kind of car that was.
Yes, I forgot. I don't know which one.
I've had so many damn cars.
Oh, man, stop, man.
Boog, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
All right, Boog.
Later, fellas.
Boog McFarland on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, someone's trying to stick a fork into the Herm Edwards era at Arizona State. We got to get into that after Jay has this from O'Reilly.
Got to take that car key to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from their professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. Let me tell you about this. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 special tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com.
I have Progressive Insurance too.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hall of Famer.
The greatest point guard ever.
Five-time NBA champion.
There's only one person all that applies to.
Magic Johnson knows what it takes to be a winner.
He'll speak with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Followed by a stop in to get up.
And he'll join me on First Take.
It's Magic in the Morning, Monday, June 21st, starting with KJZ at 6 a.m. Eastern.
Get up on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern.
And First Take at 10, Monday, June 21st. Magic all morning.
Magic Monday. I'm looking forward to that, man.
I remember that's this your guy. One. This one here. Yeah. I remember that live in person, man.
Right.
I remember that.
You see it, now you don't.
Oh, man.
And he wasn't even looking that way. Just
let
it go.
I could never understand how he was able to just.
I would love to sit with him and watch some film of some plays and ask him, what do you remember from that play? Because there were plays that he made.
Man, think about it. It's a fast break. I think it was a 3-on-2 fast break, mm-hmm. and he comes in the middle and just goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody ran that way.
Oh.
He's definitely a special player, and it'll be great to talk to him on Monday. And by the way, everybody, so Key and I will be on First Take today and also tomorrow, so you definitely want to tune in.
Airing on ESPN2,
well.
I believe.
Is it on ESPN2?
I think because of soccer.
Or the U.S. Open? Soccer?
Soccer.
Okay, because of soccer. That's fair enough. All right, ESPN2, so what?
Well, I'm ESPN2 telling right them now. So they can watch us.
Yeah, of course. Make sure you see us on First Take.
Less screaming.
Meanwhile, This is a story to certainly keep an eye on. I know it's something that you want to talk about. So there's reports about the Arizona State football program saying that they violated rules the NCAA put in place to attempt to prevent recruiting trips from spreading COVID-19. So during the pandemic, it was a lot of control over how you could recruit. But apparently, as Arizona State has confirmed publicly, that the NCAA is investigating the football program.
Yeah.
That confirmation came after reports that Herm Edwards, the head coach, and others within the Arizona State program violated the NCAA's recruiting restrictions during the pandemic. One unnamed staff member told Yahoo Sports, "It wasn't a secret. As far as knowing everyone who came into that football office, the number is too big and the names are too many. They would bring in parents, their moms and dads and friends. They'd get a facility tour like they were on an official visit. They'd show you the weight room and training room. They showed you everything." So what's happening with that program and why?
You know, first of all, most of the people that are in charge of that program, I kind of know. And because of Herm Edwards, and I'm a West Coast guy, so I kind of have some knowledge about what Arizona State's program is all about and where they're headed.
Right.
You go all the way back to when they first hired Herm 4 years ago. They fired Coach Graham, Ray Anderson, who happens to be one of a handful of African-American athletic directors, fired Graham, hired Herm Edwards after Herm hadn't coached for like 10,000 years.
Yeah, he's here.
And Ray represented Herm when he was an NFL coach. So there's a relationship there. So Ray empowered a black man as a head coach. So that became an issue right then and there. Like, oh, you're hiring a guy who's 1,000 years old, doesn't know what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, Herm started to get the program turned around. And Herm started getting rid of the bad coaches that can't coach and can't recruit. And I know this firsthand because I've been watching it. And then he brings in Antonio Pierce as a linebacker coach. Antonio Pierce was the head coach at Long Beach Poly High. Then
former Giant, yep.
They look up and he started getting all these young players that can recruit and coach as well that could understand these kids and their families and things of that nature. Getting rid of some of these coaches that have been there, some staff people that have been there. So you got a lot of disgruntled people that was part of Coach Graham's universe. So you got these internal issues going on. Now all of a sudden AP gets kicked up as defensive coordinator, gets more power to help turn Arizona State's program around. Kevin Mawai, an ex-teammate of mine, didn't get the offensive line coaching job. Then goes to the Indianapolis Colts and gets fired. Herm doesn't hire him, and he played for Herm. Right. So he becomes this whistleblower type that is kind of like saying, you know, oh, well, you know, they doing this, they doing that. It's not improper benefits. The thing that they may have violated is the rules of the NCAA bringing guys or communicating with players and families during COVID. Right. So it's a little bit different than what the stories are probably trying to make it sound like.
So you're saying
like.
it's recruiting violations. When we hear that, we think right away of
money and all that stuff.
This was there were COVID protocols that the NCAA put out, and, yes. and they broke those
and you
rules.
Got disgruntled employees because Herm Edwards and Ray Anderson are empowering people that look like them, and some people are getting mad at that. Let's be honest and real with it. 100%. Not a joke.
It's definitely a story that'll keep an eye on what it does to that program because, as you mentioned, Herm is trying to get that program on track, and he had started to do that. More coming up next.